Hey, it's being done. Brian Petrie coming weekly Wednesday takes. Not a gamble when I ramble. All my slime balls we parlay. We just stick to the money. The tickets no funny. The chalk boys get in the bag. Nothing to stage. Stop in the cage. Needed a chin and he lay on the mat. It's Wednesday takes. Making Wednesday great. You're seeing MMA. Big Gun Brian. No denying where he be and what he say. Word of my cap is we speak facts from start to finish. What's the weight? The value boys we showing love. TGIW is Wednesday takes.
It's been a while since an old Wednesday Takes popped up for you, huh? Little Wednesday Takes action. What's up with the what's up? Woo, feeling good. Listen, this is going to be a recap show from Vera Sanhagen, betting recap, recap the entire card, mixed in with a little bit of Wednesday Takes, because then we got some stories to talk about. I have a story to tell you, because it just made me think of it, and it's a pretty good story. And then we'll end on Twitter questions. Bada bing, bada boom, bada boom. Huh? That's how we're doing. Or social media questions. I did take some people from old Instagrams too. What's up with the what's up? Sorry, my face is a little red here. Listen, we're coming in HD. We're coming in 4K, baby. I just showered. I've been shaving my face with an actual shaver. And face a little red. Put some, you know, hot shower. Hair still wet, whatever. But we got some lights going. I got some blackout curtains here. Rearranged the desk. If you can tell, the backdrop's different. Here's what happened, boys. Saturday, I woke up, massive migraine, right? Migraines have plagued me most of my life. Wake up, bed full of kids with my wife, two kids. Usually that's the most best wake up in the world, right? I wake up with an absolute worst migraine. And I get these weird like deja vu things. That's what I call them. I just feel like weird. Woke up right in the middle of one of those, and I went out to the couch, and I started kind of like maybe get, you know, what I do is I try to distract myself because I might panic, like, oh my God, this is, you know, here comes a big one. I get on Wikipedia, I get on IMDb, I start just reading a bunch of shit, right? You know, try to take my mind off it. Wasn't going to happen, right? Get hit with this thing, crushes me. I got to throw in the shades. Now I have a VSIN spot on Saturday. I go on with Dave Ross on Saturday, and I don't remember it. I don't know what I said. I can't watch it back. It's on like a paywall. The producer, Dave, started following me afterwards, and the producer texted me and said, hey, great job, blah, blah, blah. But I don't remember what I said. I was completely gone. And the thing with me is when I have a migraine, I can't just sleep it off because like it just doesn't work for me like that. I can't just sleep it off. So I lay down in a dark room with glasses on, no phone, no TV, no whatever, right? And this is about, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So the fight started at 4:35, whatever the start time was. So I'm sitting there and I go, okay, right? And now like I'm in my own head because I go, listen, you're a father now. You're not now, but you know, for 5 years, I've been telling myself for 5 years, you're a husband. If you get a migraine, you can't just shut down. Your life doesn't stop. You got to keep moving, pussy. Get up. So I've been wanting to switch my desk around for a while. So I come in, I start switching around, and then I just get hit with a wall and I got to go lay back down. So I did that dance for 2 days, but we finally got it switched. I got a nice window seat now. There's an ottoman I don't know if it's called an ottoman, but a thing of drawers over here, real big and heavy. We had to switch that with my desk. Got a new backdrop. I love the sound pads that I used to have, but it just didn't feel like you're on an MMA podcast. So I got my little, whoop, right here. I got my little shelf of goodies, Cincinnati postcard. Then this way, this is hard to do, UFC 236 poster in Atlanta, one of the best events ever. You have 183 right here, one of the best posters ever. MMA Takes podcast. And that little VHS right there, UFC Hits Volume 1, $5 at Blockbuster. That started the whole shebang. That's what got me into it, baby. That's what started the whole fucking thing. So we got it done. And I want to address that because if you're on the video side, you're like, whoa, what the fuck? BP, what's up, man? Love the sound pads. Got those as a gift. They're on the other wall. Can't remove them because I might ruin them. Slimer's over there as well. Maybe we'll bring Slimer into the mix. I don't know. This is all, obviously all, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I think it looks dope. I think this looks cool. It, you know, it kind of lets, you know, lets the people know, like, hey, I'm an MMA bro, right? Got my Chris Curtis shirt on. Stop running. Double flip the bird. Picked us up on millions.co. Support my guy. He's got a fight coming up. Speaking about supporting your guy, betting recap. Woo! Slime ball, trash, green hammer, Staying strong. Green Hammer 4-1 on the year. Green Hammer with CJ Vergara by finish. Minus 160 is, I think, what I got it at, which wasn't the best number, but he almost got knocked out. And then he came back. Amazing. We'll recap the entire card. But I hit on the Green Hammer, missed on the slime ball. Slime ball was Mano Cop. His fight got pulled. Nate Landwehr. Nate the Train, baby.
Hey, Nate the Train, baby.
He did his thing. And then Tucker Lutz did not do his thing. Daniel Pineda basically embarrassed Tucker Lutz. I mean, I don't. What are we doing here with that pick, Brian? Slime ball in the trash. My locks were 1-3. I switched my mortal lock because I always got to keep track of my mortal lock. So even though I don't give them out to you guys, I think I'm going to start telling you what my backup mortal lock is in case a fight get canceled. It was Manel Cop. But for my record books, for my records, it's not like a little fucking dork, I can't have a blank mortal lock. So I went Nate the Train for my mortal lock instead of Manel Cop. Hit Nate the Train. I missed on my mortal, or excuse me, I sent him home, Albert Duraev. Won the fight. Thought he was going to finish. And then my dog lock was Cheeto. Obviously lost on that. All right, so let's start from top to bottom. Betting recap down. Excuse me. I'm going to start putting this on the screen. Down 1.2 units. Yeah, we're down that. You know, I hit a minus 800, or excuse me, plus 800 on Nate Wearing by submission, which was nice, but I put a little too much on Cheeto. I did a same game parlay on Cheeto. He didn't throw enough strikes. I hit everything but the strikes, and I thought Cheeto was gonna land more than 80 strikes. I had Sanhagen over 85 strikes. Cheeto over 80 strikes, and Sanhagen at least land one takedown. I think it was like plus 135, plus 140. Put a good irresponsible amount on that, and that kind of cost me there. But as a live betting, I mean, I went 5-5 my picks. My live betting spots were pretty good. Again, 10 fights. What are you going to do? 5-5, dog shit. Slime ball parlay, 2-6 on the year, dog shit. Green Hammer, 4-1 on the year. We haven't started. We started this not too long ago, 5 weeks ago. 4-1 on the year. 4-1 in the year. The one thing I said 2 years ago is I really want to get good at props. I really want to try to get my prop game up. Prop game comes up. You know what I mean? Prop game comes up when you focus. All right, Cheeto Vera versus Marlon Vera. Marlon Vera or Cheeto Vera? Is that how it says, you fucking idiot? Marlon Vera, Cheeto versus Corey Sanhagen. You know, not the fight I was expecting. Obviously, I was on Cheeto. But even if Cheeto would have lost, because you know he's the underdog here, this was a tough fight for him. I thought he would put up a little bit better of a fight than what he did, if we're being honest. It wasn't the same Cheeto we're used to. He didn't throw enough strikes. He looked tentative. And I tweeted out, and a lot of people disagree with me, or not just my tweet, but a lot of people had a similar take. He looked flat, and he did. Now, you can look flat with Sanhagen looking good. Sanhagen would have won that fight even if Cheeto didn't look flat, right? Sanhagen's movement, his shot selection, his threat of the takedown, everything was great. Cardio, obviously on point, his ability to take shots, and you know, amazing. Sanhagen would have won that fight. But, so that was a good read on whoever had Sanhagen. You know, props to you guys out there who thought it'd be easy. I thought Cheeto was just going to be a little bit durable for him. Start slow, end strong, close fight. We didn't get that. One judge scored it for Cheeto. Huh? That's, I mean, I know 1-2, easy Sanhagen. 3, 4, 5, they were closer rounds, but were they really? Were they really? I mean, if I went back with a fine-tooth comb, I could maybe find the third or the fourth for Cheeto. Maybe the fifth. He started off kind of hot in the fifth. Maybe I could find one, but no. Not really, right? Maybe it was 4-1, 5-1 Sanhagen on my card. I don't remember. I have not watched it back. But you can say Cheeto was flat and Sanhagen looked good. You can say that. That's allowed because Cheeto was flat. Cheeto was not as high volume guy. And you can say, oh, well, Corey took that away. Yeah, but he's fought guys that have moved like Corey before. Frank Yeager moves a lot. You know, Dominic Cruz moved a lot. And he still threw a lot more strikes. He was stuck in mud in this fight. Would that have changed anything? No. Props to Corey. We should be talking about Corey for sure. But Cheeto was flat. Let's just set the record straight. Cheeto was flat. Another record straight. My wife, she got me this Yeti cup green. If you haven't noticed, there's a theme of green in my life. The Green Hammer, slime ball. I got green books, green fold. You know, I love green. I'm a green guy. And I didn't realize this when I create the slime ball, I bought folders to, you know, because again, I'm all, you know, I write it with everything in my hand. I bought folders and then I bought a notebook to keep the slime ball in. And I got a slime ball parlay sticker right there on it. And I went, man, I'm really leaning into the green. And I love drinking out of Yeti cups. You know, I think I mentioned that. And my wife got me this one. And of course, she went with green. And I mean, fucking, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Anyway, Sanhagen looked fantastic. Vera looked flat. I don't think either of this hurts their career because I don't think Cheeto would have got a title shot with a win. He wouldn't have. They maybe would have forced him and Sean, depending how Cejudo and Aljo went. Maybe they'd force Sean because they've already kind of guaranteed O'Malley a shot. I doubt they run that with him. But if O'Malley won, then obviously he got built-in storyline. But I think Cheeto was fighting one more time regardless. Cheeto's had a few losses early in his career. He didn't get put out or anything. He just got outclassed in this one on an off night for him. He'll rebound. He'll be okay. Corey, this guy's smart, right? Because he knows I got a loss to Aljo. I got a loss to Petrion, right? That loss is not looking good. It was a very close fight, right? And he's got a loss to TJ Dillashaw as well within all the last five fights. He beat TJ Dillashaw. That's not here or there. He beat him. But on his record, it's an L. So those aren't looking good, but he's got some really good wins lately, and he's looked good. He's looked like a killer. So instead of going out there going, I'm sitting out till I get the winner of Cejudo, Aljo, blah, 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 he calls out the boogeyman, right? He calls out Marab, right? And I love it, right? Because Marab, they were trying to apparently get Umar to fight him. At least that's what Umar's management said. But Marab's like, why would I fight this guy? I've kind of this. But when you're Marab, you're in that position where it's like, if you're not going to get a shot at the title, you're going to have to fight everyone and anyone, right? But Sanhagen makes the most sense. Sanhagen's ranked third now. Marab, I think, is 2 or 1. That is a beauty of a fight. You know, Marab just fought not too long ago, recovering from a hand injury. Sanhagen's going to have elbow surgery. We can see that in the fall. I think Sanhagen said he can't fight till after September. He's getting married or something like that. I don't remember exactly what he said, but that's something that we're going to see later this year. Amazing fight. Amazing fight. And then hopefully by that time, Aljo Cejudo sort it, and then you get O'Malley in there. Oh, please. Hello? Oh, gosh. All right. So, strike one, Riverside. Said you can't access my video. You can access it, bitch. So I just had a little bit of a hiccup on the video side. Give me a program that works. Whew, we're back, though. We're back. Audio's good. All my audio, folks, you're in tight. Anyway, hopefully, train of thought there just got ruined. Hopefully that gets ironed out. Now, co-main event, Holly Holm versus Yana Santos, previously known as Yana Kutakaya. This fight was pretty good. Pretty good. You know, listen, it was a better performance by Holly. I thought she went out there, and if you had on Holly by finish, which would have been probably a plus money in my opinion, maybe a low plus money. I didn't look at the line. Actually, didn't bet on this fight at all. If you were looking at Holly at plus money, she had a finish there. She had a finish. Ooh, bro, she had a finish. And didn't get it, obviously. Won a decision, but it was a good win for her, right? She needed a rebound, but she needs to be a finisher. She's 41, right? She laid out who she wants to fight again, Raquel Pennington. Forget who the other one was, and then Amanda Nunes, right? And that's ambitious, right? I mean, I don't know if you're going to get there. You're obviously a star. They're throwing you on co-main events. You're good at main event in a fight night sometime later this year. I know that's going to happen, right? That's a fucking guarantee. But, you know, I want to see some finishes. I want to see some action. But Yana Santos hung tough. I mean, there were some times on the ground where Holly was trying to get a crucifix and throwing some big shots, right? And Santos moved and did what she had to do. And what are you going to do? All right, Nate the Train, baby.
Hey, Nate the Train, baby.
This dude's electric, right? I mean, he went on Errol's show yesterday and said, I have everything there is to be a star. And he's right. He's got everything to be a star. I love this guy. He looked good against Lingo, right? This is Nate the Train at his finest. Is the first 2 minutes of the first round, he's shaky, right? Lingo was throwing some shots, and Nate was covering up. He's blocking well. His defensive skills were well, but there were some shots getting through, and Nate looked shaky in those first 2 minutes. Lingo was in control. And then he gets kind of this swagger, right? And he's got really good combinations. If you watch Nate the Train, he's not the biggest power in the world, but his combinations are there, and he's relentless. I mean, this guy's cardio is great. And then once he starts getting in there and feeling comfortable with himself, going, okay, I've taken some shots from this guy in the first 2 minutes. I see what he's doing. I can take his shots and be okay when he's not worried about getting knocked out. Then he's putting on a pressure clinic, right? And then the post-fight interview, where it's just fucking amazing. If I was a better podcaster, I'd have it pulled up right now. Maybe I'll put it in post. But man, this guy is a star. Nate the Train, baby. Get on the train wagon here. What train wagon? Well, I fucked that up. But no, I love Nate the Train. He was making sense on Ariel's show saying, listen, I got everything to be a star. Why not me? He's calling out Mostov Ivolev, who was supposed to fight in Russia. He called out someone else. It was a good call out for him. I can't remember who it was. But yeah, this guy's electric. This guy's must-see TV. He's an action-packed fighter. And if he cracks a microphone, this dude is good. You know, one of the best in the business. Sorry, my hair's bothering me. All right, then we got Andrew Lee versus Macy Barber. Oof. I had Andrew Lee winning this fight. I mean, listen, Macy Barber's the queen at winning these kind of fights. I get it. But Andrew Lee won this fight. Andrew Lee was the more aggressive fighter. I don't have the stats in front of me. She was landing more takedowns. She was on top. I don't know. People were like, well, she got on top, but she didn't do anything. Yeah, but when you land like 5 takedowns, those count, regardless if you're doing something or not. The first round, I had Macy. Andrew Lee got a takedown. Macy put her in like a weird position, kind of had her arm. Wasn't really a submission threat, I don't think, but it was like more like to hold her down there, landing some good strikes. I had Macy win in the first, even though she got taken down. Then I had Andrew Lee winning 2 and 3. I think it was a close fight. I kind of, when it went to the cards, I was like, this could be 29-28 Andrew Lee. Competitive for sure. But Macy Barber, didn't Dexter Dan give her 30-27? Is that what I'm seeing? Which is absurd. You know, I feel bad for Angela Lee. Again, these women fights, man, they get close. You know, these close women fight, man. They're hard to bet on. They're hard to bet on. I had Macy in this. I had a same game parlay in this fight. I had each woman laying the takedown, and I had Macy over 55 strikes. It was a plus number, plus 125, low plus number. And both got a takedown, and Macy on ESPN originally had 55 significant strikes total. And then they changed it to 48. Now, do I think they changed it on purpose? Am I that asshole that thinks like, you know, they changed it on purpose? Is that what I'm thinking? Am I that kind of guy? Yeah. Yeah, they did. They did it to fuck me. We all know it. We all, sorry for yelling the mic. We all know it, right? I just peeked your ears out. Total bullshit. Total fucking bullshit. Go back and count the... What do you count as a significant strike, by the way? Strike counters? Son of a bitch. That one, I was confident. I've been pretty hot on the same game parlays. When they add in takedowns and strike counts and this and that, I've been pretty good at that. I say that when I went 0-2 on this card. However, that's bullshit. All right, cancel fight Alex Perez versus Manel Cop. Unfortunate cancel day of. Tweeted out, and I said it before, I thought Perez was going to pull out. He's a pull-out merchant. Apparently he had a seizure. As a former seizure survivor as well, I wish him the best. Sounds like he doesn't have any epilepsy, any brain damage. It's one of those things where it does, and that's what all my brain doctors tell me is a brain's like a light switch. Everyone's got that switch. Some people can flip it. Some people can't. If you put enough stress on your body, you put enough things on your body, it's good to switch, right? So, you know, maybe it was a tough camp, maybe he's doing something, but maybe he's got a lot of stuff going on. But regardless, baby gloves off, right? How many times this guy's pulled out? This is a day of, right? And everyone's thinking, oh, hopefully the health of Perez is right. And that's fine. You can think that, and you should, right? You're a human being. But also, all the people that he was scheduled to fight now are probably out half their money with a full training camp, right? Now, I know all those pullouts weren't his fault, but a lot of them were. So I think you really got to question, hey, does this guy want to do this? Is this nerves? Is this anxiety? You know, Kyle Parisian had that. Kyle Parisian was supposed to, like, his last fight in the UFC, I think, maybe his second last fight, he was supposed to, like, he was supposed to be, like, the opening fight in the main card. And he said, no, I'm going now. He had a complete anxiety attack. He said, if I'm fighting now. So they moved his fight up so he can get in the octagon, or he wouldn't have done it. Like, you know, some guys battle these nerves And I'm wondering if Perez put too much stress on himself. And if that's the case, maybe this isn't for you. There's no shame in saying, hey, I fought for a title. I got to go. I don't want to hurt myself further. This isn't for me. There's no shame in that. But if you still want to fight, I think you might need to get kicked to the regionals for a little bit. You know, unfortunately, if he gets kicked out of the UFC says, we don't want to deal with this. He'll get signed to PFL. He'll get signed to Bellator, which is fine. He deserves. He's a talented fighter. But I do think he maybe needs to get his mind right, because I do think some of these... Now, it could be all bad luck. Fuck do I know, right? But, man, I don't know. This is MMA takes, right? This is Wednesday takes. Yeah, I don't think it's bad luck. I think he's putting on himself. I think it's his own doing. So I think he needs to get kicked to the curb for a little bit. Realize and feel like, do I want to be here? Is this where I want to be? Because if not, go do something else. All right, next up. You got a Chidi Bang Bang versus Albert Durov. The one dog hit I finally hit. I had not been picking dogs well at all this year. It's fucking piss poor. Something I'm really going to have to turn into high gear for quarter two or however the quarters work of the year. I thought Durov won this fight. It was very close. People thought Chidi won. I thought Durov won. I thought he was more active. Chidi landed harder strikes and threw a lot of kicks, but... Durov threw more. If you look at the stats, I mean, I know the judges don't have stats, but he's in Chidi's face the entire time and landed a takedown first round. I don't know why he abandoned those takedowns. Close fight. Chidi did not fade like I thought he was. This was my send him home. I thought Durov was going to get a finish. I played that as well at plus 600. It looked like Durov, after he got in the flow of things, you know, after the second round, he's not known for his gas either. He got the flow of things and saw everything from Chidi coming. So he's like, I'm not going to risk anything and try to get a finish here. I'm just going to coast because I think I'm going to win this fight the way I'm doing it. That's how I saw it. Average fight, average performance. Daniel Pineda versus Tucker Lutz. Tugger nuts! Fucking Tugger, man. Fucking Tugger. I mean, the slime ball was kind of fucked with Cop falling off. It would have been a low price anyway. But was he the biggest favorite on the card, right? Minus 260. Daniel Pineda is 37. Has put every steroid in his body, allegedly, and comes out there and just dog walks Tucker Lutz. I mean, Tucker Lutz, go come out of injury. And you're going to sit there and tell me, you know what? This is Wednesday takes. Let's get into it, right? Let's fuck around and get into it. Daniel Pineda, who's literally been busted for steroids multiple times, you're going to tell me I'm bitter, if you can't tell, at 37, coming off a knee injury, coming off a calf injury after the knee healed, coming back and putting on a performance like that where you don't slow down, you look strong, you look physically great. You mean to tell me he ain't sipping on that grandpa cough syrup? You're going to sit there and tell me that? No, don't buy it. Don't buy it. This fight probably, you know what? I wish I could bet on it right now, but I'm sure DraftKings doesn't have this. This fight's getting overturned. This fight's getting overturned for sure. Lead your own imaginations. I'm not going to say it out loud, but, you know, been around a long time. You know, guess who? And I can't ever prove this, but when old Chael P fought Nate Marquardt, and I followed Chael P's career for a long time. Guy looked like dog shit in UFC. He was always winning until he wasn't, right? He fights Nate Marquardt, who at the time was an elite 185er, and he put on just an absolute domination, looking just shreddy. And I go, oh, Chael P's juicy juice. I've been around. I know. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. Either way, though, Tugger Nuts look like shit. Maybe doesn't belong in the UFC. Shame on me for putting him in the slime ball parlay. That's all on me. That's not on Tugger Nuts. That's on me. But if he wants to be called Tucker Lutz by me, he better win a fucking fight. Because until then, it's Tugger Nuts. And I'm a little bitter. I really thought we were going to win the slime ball this week. I was actually confident. And then here he goes, make me second guess myself. Steven Peterson versus Lucas Alexander. Lucas Alexander looked great. I should have really paid more attention to Lucas Alexander. I just blindly picked Steven Peterson. Oh, Steven Peterson pretty tough. He's a Texas boy. He got fucking embarrassed in there. Retired. Cool. Have a good life. I mean, what do you want me to say? I don't know. He's under 500 fighter in the UFC, retiring. You know, it was a good moment when he hugged his son, but I'm not, again, this isn't a Hallmark channel, right? I'm not going to fucking coddle everyone's hands and, you know, great. Did what you did, man. Cool. I got to retire in Texas, even though you bashed Texas, said you'll never fight in Texas. You retired there. Whatever. Trevin Giles versus Preston Parsons, very close fight. Timbo, old Timbo Slice, you know, he's out there fucking strangling motherfuckers right now. He thought Preston Parsons won this fight. I thought Trevin Giles won this fight. I had Preston Parsons. Pick'em Petrie had Preston Parsons. So Pick'em Petrie's Pick'em record is probably like 0-15, but they still call me Pick'em Petrie. Trevin Giles won this fight, in my opinion. I thought he had a little more gas. He ain't got no gas in
it. Ain't got no gas in it.
Thought he had a little more gas in him, right? And Preston slowed down and just those lazy shots where you don't get them and you're just diving at legs and diving at legs. You hurt him on the feet. You dropped Trevin. Strike a little more. Instead, you're just diving, crotch sniffing. I mean, that the judges, to me, if I was a judge, I'd be like, this fucking guy. Look at him diving at legs. You ain't winning this fight, dude. You ain't going to win this fight, man. Next up, you got CJ Vergara versus Daniel Silva. We've talked about this. Green hammer play, minus 160, boom, 4-1 of the year. Man, Jason Herzog's a G for letting this go. I mean, listen, some refs would have stopped it. He basically ran away from the action to try to clear his head. Got rocked a bunch of times in the first round. And Daniel Silva, obviously, he's never been to the decision, never been to a third round. Blew his gas out.
You know? He ain't got no gas in it.
And then he got TKO. I thought he's going to get submitted. I had all the monies on the TKO, not a submission. I did not double chance it. I went one way. I went by TKO, KO, whatever. And he had that arm triangle, and I'm like, oh, my God, am I really going to lose the green ham on this? This comeback's amazing. I'm going to lose on this. And then he finished him with strikes. I'm like, oh, my God, unbelievable. Just fucking rocked up after that. Good performance by CJ. I think, he's got some work to do. And then the first fight of the night, we obviously had canceled fights. We had Manuel Torres versus Trey Ogden canceled. Trey Ogden is now fighting in Miami, maybe? Is it in Miami or is it in May? Did they move it to May? I don't remember. Anyway, he is fighting Ignacio Bulmendez, which is the greatest fucking name ever. Let me say it one more time. Get all sexy with it. Ignacio Bulmendez. I mean, come on. Trey Ogden fighting that catch weight. Hopefully in Miami. If not, it's going to be in May. I just saw that before I hopped on. That fight got canceled. Manuel Torres had a bad weight cut. And then Vidal versus Cowan got canceled. I think Vidal pulled out of that one. And then Vincent Salvatore versus Victor Altamirano. I was high on Salvatore coming out of the contender series. Maybe shouldn't have been. This guy missed more punches than he landed. Absolute wild puncher in there. Wild man can take a good shot. You know, it was entertaining. It was a fun fight against Victor Altamirano. Well, bro, like, how does your coach hold pads? Does he hold one to the floor and one up here? What are these punch selections, dude? It was wild. Crazy. All right, so that's it. 1-for-3 on my locks. Missed the sign ball. Hit the green hammer. 5-5 on my picks. That is the recap for Vera Sandhagen. That is the recap. The old paper here. Put it on the side. So we got some more show. We're at 27 minutes. We got some more show. That's Wednesday takes, babe. We got some more show. All right, let's see what the more show is about because I got notes because I don't remember. So I recap, blah, 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 betting recap, hit you with that. Colby Dana. I have to talk about this. Well, first off, before we get to that, Donald Cerrone got two things, actually, now that I just remember because I'm a piece of shit. Donald Cerrone got inducted to the Hall of Fame in Texas. You know, he's not from Texas, but he's a cowboy. They surprised his wife and kids coming out.
His two sons with the cowboy hats. And then the little one that his wife was holding. And he was tearing. That got me. Oh boy, that got me. That got me in all the feels. I mean, I wasn't crying. I'm not a huge crier, but man, I tell you what, that hit me hard. Never been the biggest cowboy fan. I mean, how can you not be a cowboy fan? But I'm not like a PMF brand. You know, I don't own the merch. But if some people say he doesn't, the Bloody Elbow guys, that old hack website said he doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, this guy, just look at his fights. You know what I mean? Everything he's done. I mean, yeah, he didn't win a title, fought for a title, but everything he's done, his personality, he 100% deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm glad he got the inductee. And think about Cowboy, he's honest. He's like, I got my hair fixed. You know, he's going bald. He's like, I'm on steroids. He's like, I'm having a good time. I don't think I'm coming back, you know, which is, I love the honesty from him. Second thing, which I should have started to show with this, and I should maybe edit this to act like this is the beginning of the show. So I did it at the beginning of the show so people don't think I'm a piece of shit, but I am a piece of shit and I'm all about authenticity. The Nashville shootings, 3 9-year-olds and three
people, three adults who worked at the school were murdered. I mean, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? You know, I saw the video today and I can't watch. Like, I remember there's a website growing up, Faces of Death or whatever it was. And you can watch, like, you know, video pictures of people getting murdered. I can't watch that shit. Right. But I watched the brave policeman barge into that school and find him. I know he's transgender and he wants to be called her or whatever. That's how she identifies. She doesn't get that privilege, or he doesn't get that privilege of me calling her. I respect everyone's, you know, if you're trans and you're a good person, I'll call you whatever you want. But if you're a murderer like this, you're a boy. You were born a man. You're a fucking man. And you're not going to get the privilege of me calling you Audrey Hale. You're 80 and Hale, or 80 and Hale. And you were a confused piece of shit person that murdered innocent lives. And I saw the video of the brave policeman bust through the school, go to the second floor and take him out. And again, I don't like watching that shit, but I was so just overwhelmed by the courageousness of these guys to do that. I've seen videos of cops running the other way. You know what I mean? And senseless violence like this in a school with children, as a father, as someone who sends a kid to school, I want to sit outside my kid's school all day. You know, you ever seen that Always Sunny episode where they want to keep the kids safe? That's me with a fucking big old sword outside the school. Like, it guts me, man. It really, really does. And I was going to start the show with this. I forgot. I came in a little hot. But my thoughts and my compassion and everything is with the people that we lost in Nashville, because I can't even fucking imagine what those parents are going through, what the families are going through. Unbelievable. And thank you for the Nashville police office, whatever police force that was, because that video that they released was some heroic shit, right? You think you're brave, you think you're tough, and everything like that. I mean, what those guys did was fucking unbelievable. And so I want to send my condolences. We'll get that out of the way. Sorry about that. Didn't want to bring the show on a downer, but you know, I had to talk about it because it was obviously important in ways on my mind. All right, so really the only headline I want to talk about, we'll kind of get into a little bit before we go to, I have a story time, which I think you guys will like. I'll tell you, if you're just here for MMA, I'll tell you to skip, and then we got Twitter questions. So Colby and the Dana doubled down Saturday. A guy told me that I should make eye contact with the camera. He's a good follower, but he said make eye contact more with the camera. So, I mean, am I creeping you out yet? I mean, you know, the problem with that is I got green eyes, so you guys are going to just fall in love with me. God, get out of here, perverts. Colby Dana doubled down and said Colby's getting the shot. We have plans for Bilal. Bilal was in Vegas yesterday meeting with Dana and Hunter, and he was there with Ali, his manager. And Bilal seemed happy, but I got in a big spat with people. People were, and I love that. This is what I love. I love a debate like that, right? I love having two people disagree on things, keeping it civil. You don't need to throw insults. The minute you insult somebody, you lose. That's just the world, right? But having debate, people think Colby, you know, the biggest debate was Colby is the bigger star. They need bigger stars. Leon's not the biggest star. They need Colby to help Leon, right? And I can't disagree with that. That is something, that's a point that you make that I agree. But when I go, that's fine, but Bilal deserves it because of the 8 wins, right? Has beef and has a bad blood with Leon. They double down and go, no, that doesn't count. Well, hang on a second. Colby's 2-2 in his last 4. A win over Tyron Woodley, Masvidal, 2 losses to Usman, 1 by knockout. He sat out for over a year and was radio silent after Masvidal dogged him in the mouth, knocked his tooth out, was pressing charges saying, I got head injuries. My brain ain't right. He was not on social media. He was not doing interviews like he's doing now. He was a ghost. No one knew he was going to London to show up the weigh-in. People were like, whoa, what the fuck? We heard chirps about it, but no one knew. Now, all of a sudden, he's in front of the camera. Any interview he can take, I'll hop on with you. Throwing shots at Mr. Anik. You know what I mean? Now, right? So, Brendan Schaub was the first person I heard say this, and you got to give him credit, is he said, I think his conspiracy theory is, I think the UFC approached Colby and said, let's drop all this lawsuit shit, right? Let's drop all that bullshit with Masvidal. We need Masvidal to fight Miami. He can't have this over his head, you know, financial, whatever. Let's drop all that. Because in reality, UFC is probably going to be paying for that shit anyway if Masvidal gets sued for a tremendous amount. You drop all that. You cut a little bit of weight because you're not a big 170-pounder. And he looked ripped. He looked in great shape. He's obviously been training. You cut all that shit. Fly to London, right? Weigh in. These guys are going to make it. No injuries. They say they're going to show up. So the only way you're going to fight is something, you know, act of God. And then you'll get a title shot. And Colby's like, done. So Colby did that, and now he's on his press tour. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, where were you at for months hiding, not showing people your tooth? Like, we heard the police body cam. We heard the phone call, whatever the fuck. We heard you be yourself, who you really are. And now, all of a sudden, you're back to this shit, throwing stones at all these other people. I don't like that stuff. Meanwhile, you got Bilal, who's just won 8 in a row. Finished a guy who Colby would never fight in a million years in Sean Brady. Hot prospect, just finished him. Fought Vicente Luque to a 5-round fight. Colby wouldn't fight him, guarantee it. You got all these things, and Bilal is putting in work, and he's making a name for himself. I'm not going to sit here and say he's bigger than Colby. Colby's got a weird following. All those fucking Colby people that follow him don't know what they like about him, but they like him. Then you got Bilal, who's just putting in work. I'm a guy that you reward the guy putting in work. You reward the guy who deserves it. And then the argument being made, oh, well, he had a fight with Leon and he was getting smacked around. It was a 1-round fight before the eye poke. If we would have called Leon's fight with Usman after 3 rounds, what are we doing here? This is MMA. Anything can happen. Leon could have slowed down like he did in the Nate Diaz fight. You guys remember Nate Diaz fight? 5 rounds, got clipped in that 5th round. Bilal's cardio is unmatched, babe. Bilal's cardio is real deal stuff. So just because he had a rough 1st round doesn't mean anything, right? That's a fight I want to see. That's a fight for a guy that's earned it. Now you go, BP, you're biased. You know Bilal. I don't know him. Kind of know him. BP, you're biased. You're on the same, you know, maybe I am. Maybe I am biased, right? I'm fighting for my guy. Maybe I am biased. But I just don't see a world where Colby, who's 2-2 with over Tyron Woodley wins and a Jorge Masvidal win, slides in there when he's been silent for a year, unless there was a deal made with what Schaub said, which is interesting. But I still stand by. I mean, it looks like Dana's pretty bullish on this, and it looks like Bilal's going to be happy. Again, Usman said he was really wrecked in the Leon fight, so not sure if he's coming back anytime soon. He said he likes to stay active. I don't know what those injuries were. Him and Bilal need to fight. Bilal's been out for enough. Everyone keeps saying, have him fight Shavkat Rakhmonov. No. What? You know what I mean? Shavkat's working his way up. Shavkat needs to fight somebody. Agreed. Shouldn't be Bilal after Bilal's 8 wins. If anyone's fighting Shavkat, it should be Usman. You know what I mean? What are we doing here, right? So I don't know the details about Bilal's deal. Looks like he's happy. Maybe they offer more money. Maybe he's getting a fatter paycheck, et cetera, et cetera. But it looks like Colby's going to be fighting Leon Edwards. Now, Dana did say, if Leon doesn't want to fight, we'll move on and we'll go Colby Usman 3, which a guy just previously said, Usman might have some injuries, so maybe Bilal steps in there for an interim shot. Because that's what needs to happen anyway, I think. I think give Leon a break, let Colby and Bilal fight, winner fights Leon in the winter, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, Leon just went for 2 5-round rounds with Kamaru Usman, one of the best welterweights in the world, right? Was losing the first fight the whole entire time, got a head to kick knockout. Second fight, very close. 2 5-round camps within a couple months of each other. Give him a break to winner and let Colby and Bilal run it within the next couple months. And then the winner gets Leon. I think I just figured something out here. I'm not even a good matchmaker. Something I'm not good at. Admittedly not good at it. And I think I just fucking solved the whole fucking thing. All right, story time. So if you are not into my MMA, or if you're only into my MMA, that was Wednesday Takes. You can turn it off. These next two things, Twitter questions, some MMA related, but right now I got story time to tell you. That's what I do on Wednesday Takes. I thought about this last week. It's a very good story, I think, and I need to talk about this person on the podcast because she was very special to me. So again, if you're not into me being very transparent and open and honest, switch it off, okay? It's good seeing you, Brian PGMA, on all social medias. Hit the subscribe button. Because we got no fights this week. We know there's no fights. So, you know, I'm here. Let's talk. So my wife, God love her, is a sensitive soul. She's sensitive. She gets offended, upset by a lot of things. And I'm not a sensitive soul at all. And she doesn't watch my show, which is funny because I go, if you want to read nice comments, watch, go to my YouTube. There's people who comment on my YouTube are fucking great. She'll go to the Annika Florian. She'll go to the DraftKings and she'll read the mean comments about me. And I'll read her the Twitter stuff. She'll look over at me and be like, what are you doing? I'm smiling on my phone. I go, oh no, this one guy said this. And she goes, what? The fuck? Whatever. You know what I mean? She gets worked up. I told her about the buddy I worked with. He said I was too fat and ugly to be on camera. And she goes, what? And she knows him. She's like, I'll stab him in his fucking neck. So every time he gets brought up in conversation, she grabs a knife. I mean, she's ready to fucking kill this guy. So anyway, my wife goes, how do you not let it bother you? Like, how do you just not let it? Like, it would drive me nuts. It would crush me, right? And I think a lot of people, you know what I mean? Like, that is, for I wouldn't say most people, but people do get sensitive. But I'm never going to let someone hide behind a fake Twitter handle, anonymity, bring me down and have me upset about anything, right? It's just, if you don't care about somebody, right, why do you care about what they say about you, right? You know, that's just my thought process. But we start talking and she's like, you know, we've been together 10 years. She's known me a while. I mean, she met me when I was 21. So she's known me for 15 years. She goes, I don't think your feelings ever got hurt, right? Do you ever get your feelings hurt? And, you know, I'm an emotional guy. I have a lot of emotion, a lot of passion. But like, if you're going to come at me and insult me physically or about anything about me, I'm not going to care. I just won't, right? And I'm sitting there and I was like, that's a good question. Let me think. And I can remember... The one time, you know, I was a chubbier kid, right? You know what I mean? I wasn't necessarily fat, I don't think, but I was chubby, but I'd hide it with baggy clothes. And I remember there was a girl I liked and we're at like a dance or something. It was in the summertime and it was like fourth grade or whatever. We're at one of the dances. And I remember like, I just, you know, the idea of like being called fat or something like that would traumatize me at this stage of my life. And I was there with the girl and me and this guy had a little back and forth for whatever the fuck reason. This girl that I liked, I was dating or whatever, he called me fat. And it was the first time someone called me fat and it was in front of the girl I liked. So it like, ooh, I like what? And I just like attacked him. I like saw red and beat the shit out of him. But I remember that was, but no, the only time, see now I had a rough childhood from 0 to 7. I've experienced everything that you can imagine. I had, and I don't know if that's really called childhood. Let's just say 0 to 7 was pretty rough. I went through a nasty divorce with my parents. I went through physical abuse and I went through sexual abuse. And I seen my siblings go through physical and sexual abuse. I went through the ringer, right? From 0 to 7. So I guess I was kind of numb. And I remember going to a psychiatrist. My parents were really worried that I just, cause I wasn't really it doesn't really bother me. Right. They're like, he seems okay. But I mean, I don't know if he knows what's going on. And I sat down with a psychiatrist for a whole hour and she got like, it was supposed to be a weekly thing. She came out to my parents. I don't think I need to see him. He knows exactly what's going on. And so that's kind of like numbed me. So I've never really, you know, I went through some really hardcore shit from 0 to 7 and it made me to the person I am today. So it's like, what am I going to really, you know, anyway, long story short, the only time I can remember that my feelings got hurt. And I could be misremembering. I'm sure there might be times here and there, but this one crushed me. I had a friend. I'm going to put a picture up right here. Bink. That's me and him. I blurred his face out because I don't think he wants to be on the internet. Also, he's kind of a disloyal guy and we're not really friends anymore. I viewed him as my best friend, my brother. I was extremely loyal to him, found out a bunch of shit, whatever, yada, yada, yada. In this story, actually, you know, he might not seem so loyal too. So maybe it was right in front of my face. Him and I, and I'm going to try not to say his fucking name, we're in fifth grade going into sixth grade and he lived in a cul-de-sac and there was a girl that we went to school with as well that lived in the cul-de-sac, totally friendster, whatever. And this is fifth grade going to sixth grade. So we're young, we're 11, 12 maybe. And the girl that lived in the cul-de-sac that we knew had a friend over and they played softball together and she went to a different school. And when I saw this girl, it was like Wayne's World. It was like, you know, music playing like Dreamweaver. Like, I'm like, holy shit. Her name was Anna. I'm in love with this girl. This is the fucking most, this is the prettiest girl I've ever seen. Who is this, right? So we go over, blah, blah, blah. You know, we play all night. You play, you know, like we're running around, cops and robbers, freeze tag, all that bullshit you do when you're younger. Saturday, we go swimming. We go jump trampoline. We're all of us, all four of us, me, my friend, her friend, and you know, Anna and her friend, whatever. And we're all just hanging out. And Saturday night, they had to go to curfew. They had to be in the house at like 8, 9 o'clock. So we're like in their driveway, like hiding from the parents, like talking to them through the window and stuff. So then I go back to my buddies who lives like 3 houses up, and we're playing Sega. And I wasn't the type of dude that when I was young, like I would pull girl's hair or kick her or push her and be like, and run away, like to let her know I liked her. No, like I walked up to her, was like, hey, baby, you want some gum? I got some gum. You want some candy? I got a bunch of candy. Like I was sweet to him, right? Because that's how you get to get women. You know what I mean? Not pulling someone's hair. So I'm sitting there playing Sega. That's how old I am. We're playing Sega. And we're sitting there and my buddy, you know, whatever. And I'm just telling him like tomorrow before Anna leaves, I'm asking her out. I don't care that she goes to a different school. I want her to be my girlfriend. It's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life. Oh my God. You know, I'm going to go over and ask her right now, but all this stuff. He's just sitting there listening to me. Now my buddy at this point had not Frenched a girl, was very girl shy, was the kind of guy that like pushes and pulls hair to let a girl know that he likes him, but was not a ladies man, right? Did not do well with the women folk at this point in our lives. So anyway, the next morning we wake up, Anna had already left. Her mom picked her up early. We left. We're like, oh my God. So I run over and he comes with me to the girl's house and she's in her garage. And this is so 90s. This is probably 97, 98, maybe even 96. And they had a cordless or cord phone in the garage. They had a phone in the garage. And I go, you got to call Anna. I'm in love with her. I got to ask her out. But she's got to be my girlfriend. And she goes, okay, yeah, sir, I'll call her. So she gets on the phone. As she starts calling, my buddy goes, yeah, I want to ask her out too. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck you say? He's like, yeah, I really like her. I want her to be my girlfriend. I said, whoa, I just spent all night talking to him. What are you doing? I'm like yelling at him. Then she answers the phone. And I originally was going to grab the phone and just ask it, but she decided, hey, I'm going to do this for you guys. So she goes, hey, Anna. So I'm here with Brian. And she goes, so this is kind of awkward, but they both want to ask you out. They both want you to be their girlfriend. So I guess, like, who do you pick? So I'm sitting there, and I'm feeling pretty confident because, you know, this guy, you know. So she does the phone like this. She goes, she wants to be your boyfriend. Sorry. And I swear to you, I was shocked. I literally blacked out, walked out of her garage and start walking up to his house. And I just start weeping, crying. I didn't cry through any of that shit I went through when I was a kid. I'm not a big crier. I'm weeping. I go and sit on his, he had like a little hill on the side of his house, tiny little hill. I sit on the hill with my hands on my knees, just weeping. They come up. My buddy is kind of like laughing at me, right? We're young and he's seeing his friend cry over a girl. And I'm like, I just like, I don't know what I was saying, but I walk home. I get up and walk home and whatever. And that whole next week, I did not go over there. It was in the summertime. So we didn't have school. So I didn't go over there the whole week. I stayed at home and watched romantic movies the whole week. And I said, I'm not going over there and watching them together when they're dating, blah, blah, blah. I was getting calls. Hey, we're doing this. We're doing that. I'm not doing it. I can't watch it. I'm too heartbroken. So after watching a steady rom-com fest with romantic movies and 80s, like a lot of the theme was, is the guy friend, the best friend got the chick, right? So I go, all right. So I can go over there. Instead of trying to steal her away, I'm just going to be a friend, right? So I go over there and we start hanging out, finish the summer, 6th grade hits. They break up because they go to different schools. Kind of a happy ending at the end of sixth grade summer, Ann and I re-met and we start dating into 7th grade. And this was like my first real girlfriend, you know what I mean? And she was amazing. I have her I have it right there on the back of my initials. Now you're probably thinking, oh, wow, dude, you really went hardcore with her initials of the girl you dated in 7th grade. Yes, she passed away at the last day of 7th grade. It was a tradition at my middle school. The last day of 7th grade, we shaving creamed each other. End of school, you shaving cream each other. And, you know, we were schools in suburbia. So we just walked through a park to get to our buddy's house. He was having a pool party. A street over, the girls were having a pool party. And so me and the guys were walking, shaving cream each other. And the girls having a pool party, her older sister decided to take the girls hill jumping. About 12 of them packed in a Jeep Cherokee. Flipped, 2 girls died. One was Anna. And it was, I mean, that changed my life. I mean, that was unbelievable. Now, I will say Anna and I were not dating when she passed away. We broke up because she was so goddamn beautiful. There were so many hunks in seventh grade from different schools coming after. I couldn't keep up. I mean, I couldn't keep up with them. So she did date some hunks throughout there, right? But at the end of her life, her and I started becoming friends again, which was great. We were talking on the phone and whatever. She was one of my favorite people in the entire world. So, yeah, that was pretty traumatic for everyone. And, I mean, that's not how you spend your seventh grade summer going to funerals. But I wanted to talk about her. The reason I brought that story up is because, yes, my feelings do get hurt, but it takes a lot, right? Secondly, I don't know if I've ever talked about Anna on the podcast, and she was an important part of my life, still is, something that I think about quite often. I mean, it's traumatic, it's horrible, but she's an incredible person. And I mean, that was 20-something years ago, got taken way too short. It reminded me of it because my wife asked me, do you ever get your feelings hurt? And then the Nashville shooting with younger kids getting hurt, it all kind of just came together. And I want to show you, I want to listen, like, that's an embarrassing story to some degree. I'm giving the trolls, I'm giving the people online ammo to come at me with me crying and being upset and all this. I'm aware of that, but I gotta be authentic. I gotta be real. You know, this is what it is. I'm a big alpha male that likes fighting. Yes. But also I cried because a girl in fifth grade did not want to, she chose my buddy over me. So what are you gonna do? Huh? That's the story of life. That's life, babe. Huh? All right, real quick, Twitter questions. Trying to get under an hour here. I posted Twitter questions, this or that, on Twitter. And I love a this or that. You know, it's like Coke or Pepsi. Got to answer quickly. So let's go to Greg here. Australia, United Kingdom. Aish! This is going to be a long answer. I think Australia is my number one country I want to go to. But I don't know if I'll ever go because it's so far away. I can't sit in a middle seat for 16, 20 hours. Just can't. So I got to have a lot of money to be able to get a lay flat, to get one of those first class, like super little fucking pod things that you get, one really fancy planes. That's the only way I'm going to Australia. United Kingdom, UK, love to go to Ireland, several countries in the UK. I think that's going to be more reasonable for me to go. So Australia is a place I want to go to, but I don't think I'm ever going to go. It looks beautiful. The people there are great. I love their sensibility. I love how they're not so fucking sensitive like Americans. Same with the United Kingdom. Same with the UK. I would love to go there as well. And I think there's a better chance of me going to the UK than Australia because it's only about a 6-8 hour flight. But that's a tough question right there, Greg. But shout out Greg on Instagram for that one. That was very hard. And then Jay Campos wrote BJJ, Ryan Hall, or Chucky Olives. And he specifies MMA BJJ. So this is easy. That's Olives with MMA BJJ because striking and whatnot. But if we take the striking out, we're going straight grappling as Ryan Hall. Olives has been submitted before, especially by leg locks. That's Ryan Hall's fucking bread and butter. I can see him in a grappling match swiping up Olive's legs and taking a leg home with them. But in MMA with striking, that's a different beast. I think Olive's gets them. But Ryan Hall for the win outside of that. Bellator PFL, easy PFL. This is from Brendan Crawford or Colford, excuse me. Brendan Colford. If I said Brandon, I'm sorry. I know there's Brendans and Brandons and they get very upset when you know, I get called Ryan a lot. I get it. So Bellator PFL, easy. That's PFL for me. I love the production. Kenny Florian, need I say more? And I think it's a better product. Parlays, props, or moneyline bets, which do you prefer? Or is it card dependent? I prefer moneyline bets. I give out a parlay every week. Parlays are sweet. They're juicy. They're nice. I don't really do lottery parlays anymore where you put $5 on of like 100 to 1 or whatever the fuck it is. I don't do those much anymore. I do like moneyline bets. I do like prop bets as well. They have some juice. I'm getting better at prop bets, but gun to my head, moneyline bets for sure. Then we got Ross Miller here. Talk about how Aljo does a featherweight and what the featherweight looks like with him in it. That's not really a this or that, Ross, but I appreciate the question. Aljo does a featherweight. Think he does okay. He's huge. He's a big guy. Neck problems, though. Does he really want it? There's a lot of questions of how long his longevity. I don't think he does well against Alexander Volkanovski. I don't think he beats him, but I think he can do well in that division. I think he'll fight for a title right away if he goes up, but I don't know if he's grabbing that belt, if we're being honest. And then old John Frem here, the Frem brothers, what's more fun to watch in a fight? A submission winner, a KO win? I'm a KO guy. I do love a good slick submission, but man, nothing to me, nothing beats the KO. So that's Instagram. Let's pop over to Twitters. I believe I liked all of them, so I should go to my likes. That's how phones work. All right, this one's for the Diddy Bop. Deep dish or thin crust? Thin crust. Thin crust, man. I'm with that. I don't like deep dish. Sorry, boys. Trent Millsap, watch my Chiefs win 3 straight Super Bowls while beating the Bengals 3 times in the AFC title game, or have Colby go on a dominant 3 reign as champ. Colby go on a dominant 3. There's a couple Bengals questions in here. People doubt my Bengals fandom. I mean, I'm literally obsessed. I've broken 3 baby monitors watching the Bengals. That's the only team I care about. Oh, here comes the video thing again. Oh boy. Froze up. Okay, we're good. It's the only team I care about. So people might underestimate my Bengal fandom. It's high. So definitely Colby on a 3-year reign as champion. This one's tough. Eric Bassner, Bengals Super Bowl champ or Chris Curtis middleweight champ? Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. That is a fucking good one. Oh, my God. You know what? Since I don't have any... I can't believe I'm going to say Chris Curtis, middleweight champ. Ah! I know him personally. He saved my life, basically. And I don't know any of the Bengals personally. It's just a fan I've been rooting for forever. But, man, I got to see my guy get that middleweight champ. I can't believe I just did that. Ah, shit. Do you sit or stand when you wipe? This is a great question. I'm a stander. I know people are like, dude, you stand up, you get fucking shit in your ass cheeks. I get it. But I do like a QB haunch. I have a whole system, but yeah, I stand. Wife sits. Most people I know sit. I'm the only weird stander. Nike or New Balances, what's your kick game like? I do love shoes, and it's Nike all the way. I used to rock New Balances back in the day. They're okay. I'm a Nike guy. I like Adidas. I got a few Yeezys. I love Nike Dunks. I love Nike Jordans, or I know Jordans, you know, whatever, Jordan 1s. I got some Pandas on the way I just actually ordered, so that's from Kevin Oliver. Give me Nike over New Balance all day. I do like Adidas in there. Reebok, I mean, I used to rock the classics, but not really. But yeah, give me Nike. Booger Beard, old Booger Beard, one of the funniest guys on Twitter. Israel Adesanya or George Washington? That's the easiest one in the world. That's Israel Adesanya. I didn't know George Washington. Well, wooden teeth, scaring kids. Fuck off. Give me Izzy. And then we got Anthrax MMA memes, great meme account. Thin crust or not pizza? Not sure what that is, but it's thin crust pizza. If not pizza or not, I love pizza, by the way. So it's definitely thin crust pizza. Anderson or Jones? It used to be for the long time Spider, but I have grown to appreciate John Jones so much more. So it's John Jones. Would you rather deal with fast zombies or only male vampires? This is at E. Zulaiti. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. I don't know what male vampires is, right? Like, are they like more vicious than female vampires? Like, I don't know vampires. So I guess male vampires. I mean, fast zombies sounds scary. So give me male vampires. I mean, unless they're terrible. I don't know much about vampires. Get free private training from Longo or Kenny. I love Kenny. I love Kenny and I love Longo. It's going to be Longo. I hold your ears to the people out there who don't think I trained. I trained for a long time, trained for 5 years, right? And boxing and striking was my first love, and that first came to me. I struggle with jiu-jitsu. It's one of the parts of my game I break down the least as well. Effectively, I trained no-gi, never pajamas, no-gi, jiu-jitsu for about 4 years, and I just didn't get the hang of it. I just wanted to get off the mat and strike, right? I avoid submissions, get up, avoid submissions, get up. So Kenny's a master at jiu-jitsu. I would love to like flow strike with Kenny, but yeah, I got to get the private from Longo. He's a striking master. Jake Ford, old milkman JF. Bengals lose the Super Bowl 20 times in the next 50 years. Bengals win one Super Bowl and that, but never make it back for easy. Bengals win one Super Bowl. Give me one. I just need fucking one. Give me one. I'm a happy man. Give me that fucking one. What's the worst scorecard from last week in Cheeto or Barber? I got to think Cheeto, because, I mean, you can make sense that Barber won maybe all 3 of those rounds. It's very close. But that's a bad scorecard, too. I mean, you're picking. I'm going to say Cheeto. I don't think Cheeto won any part of that fight. I think if you're really going through a fine-tooth comb, you can maybe make an argument for Macy. But they were both trash scorecards. Run free Jake Ford again. That was at Aladdin. One free punch to Colby or any other fighter. Right now, it's probably Colby. But if I got to pick any fighter on the planet, It's probably like a guy who like beats up his women, like John Copenhaver, or War Machine, who's in prison, like to stomp on his head a few times. Phil Baroni, who allegedly just murdered his girlfriend in Mexico, stomp on his head a few times. Anybody that's put their hands on a lady, they're first on the list. But I guess if we're talking active UFC fighters, I guess Colby's at the top of the list. Jared Hostile said, Bengals Super Bowl win or one guaranteed UFC pay-per-view in Ohio every year. Bengals Super Bowl win for sure. Tell you why. They don't come to Ohio often. I've been to every card. Been to the only pay-per-view in Cincinnati, UFC 77. Went to the pay-per-view in Cleveland. Been to the Columbus card. Been to the Fight Night in Cincinnati. Been to the other Cleveland card. I don't live in Antarctica. So, you know, I do get some cards. And obviously, if they come to Chicago, I'm close. They come to anywhere in Kentucky, I'm close. Bengals Super Bowl all day. Kevin Boss said, Chael's confidence and Mike's skills are out as pool status in Brazil. Aldo's pool status in Brazil all day. Chael, I think, is kind of a fraud. I'm not a big Uncle Chael fan. He's got some demons. You know, I'm going to look into Chael. He's got some things. Bismo Funyuns, which is a great fucking name. That's the Key and Peele sketch. Would you rather step barefoot in sloppy human poop, having it squished between your toes, or be inside a porta potty as it gets tipped over upside down, but it's only blue goo and pee, no dukes? So, thank you, Bismo. Easily step on shit. I mean, I have a weak stomach, so I poop everywhere, and a porta potty is an emergency shit my pants situation only. So even a guy that poops in the worst conditions, I mean, I pooped outside before, right? Don't want to go anywhere near a porta potty. Step on human shit. I got kids. I deal with shit all the time. My daughter's potty training right now. She pooped on the floor. I could have stepped in it. Give me the stepping in the shit. I can wash my foot, no problem. Jamie Frodo, would you rather suck one guy to completion 10 times or suck 10 guys to completion once? It's a really good question, and it's got to be one guy. I don't want 10 dicks. Now, the 10 dick thing, you could probably get done in one day, right? Lou Bukkake situation. With the guy one time, one guy with 10 times, that's going to, you know, it's going to take a while, right? I don't think there's a guy out there that can come 10 times, and I definitely probably ain't good enough to suck a dick 10 times to get it to come in one day. So let's go one guy. I know it's going to have to get prolonged and you get the one done quicker. I just don't want 10 different dicks, right? Just let me keep that one dick. And do I get to pick the dick? I think that's important. Dick approval is very important. And then from Jamie Frodo as well, that's the last one here. In the same vein, would you rather have a perfect reverse sweep on a full card parlay, pick every fight wrong, or be let down by the main event? So I'd rather go skunk. These papers that I have right here that I fill out, you know, I got wins, losses, all that shit. I rather have zero fights right and I'd hang it on the wall. That's hard to fucking do. Woo! Got through those real quick. I love those games. We used to play those in school all the time. It was like, really wasn't this or that, but it was like, what would you do for $1 million or whatever it was? And we would just go, would you eat shit? Would you fuck a guy? Would you do this? And I, you know, I'm Mr. Cool Guy. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I would. And I think I told us something. I don't know if I told the story before, but it's in, you know, whatever. We're in class doing this, and I would say I would do anything except killing my parents, killing anybody, or killing myself. I'd do anything, or any heinous crimes like rape, murder, whatever. And they're like, okay, yeah. Would you do this? Would you do that? I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. What, $1.5 million for that? Yeah. This guy who, his name was Scoot. His name was Scott, but we called him Scooter. I called him Scoot. He looked exactly like the kid from the Goldbergs, like very dorky, calculator wristwatch. He turns around slowly and he looks at me and goes, would you fuck your mom for $1 million? And I just was like, no, I wouldn't. You stumped me. And then he just slowly turns back around. The fucking Scoot got me. All right, that's it. That's the show. Brian Petrie MMA on all social media. Hit that subscribe button. Be part of Club 1K. MMAtakesPodcast.com to buy a t-shirt. I think that's it. That was a fun show. Lights are on me. I'm getting hot. This is no longer, it's not. It's still wet from the, I got this old thick boy hair. All right, that's it. That's the show. Blah, blah, blah. Anything else? Nope. Next week, pick'ems for the big card. Ooh, I might do another video. I might do like a live or something this week because I miss talking to the boys, right? So we'll figure something out. But yeah, fun show. Good energy. I loved it. I loved you. I don't know how to end these shows, so I'm just gonna. What are we doing here, right? Let's make some mix with our man Brian Petrie. Good. Motherfuckers.
perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Next with our man Brian Petrie.